What's that? Your wife and kids died in a horrible car wreck? No problem. Just clone them. We saw replicas, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater, cause you know you won that. How Did This Get Made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am Tall John Shear, and today on the podcast, we are talking about the 2018 Keanu Reeves classic, Replicas, about a scientist who is obsessed with artificial intelligence, so much so that when his family is killed in a horrific car accident, he decides to clone them in just 17 days and act like nothing ever happened. There is so much to talk about, and I cannot wait to get into it with my co-host. Please welcome Jason Manzoukas and Miss June Diane Raphael. How are you both?
Wow. This was a ride. This was a ride.
It really was. It really, really was. This was a horror film.
This was interesting, but it was like a slow moving horror film. Like I oftentimes felt like the music was trying to tell us to be more scared, to be more nervous, yeah, to be more upset, to be more like, oh, something bad is about to happen, but nothing really. It was very like the cloned family doesn't return to consciousness until an hour into the movie, which made no sense to me. You know, just to jump straight in my mind, you like if you've got a Keanu Reeves vehicle on your hands and your vehicle is also one in which Keanu is driven by grief at the grief of the loss of his family by a
terrible vehicle crash,
by a vehicular crash, by something awful. You know, we have precedent. You know, John Wick, you know, his wife dies, the grieving process, they kill his dog, and he goes on a murderous rampage. You know, like, and it immediately jumps in. Here, his entire family dies at his hand. He's driving the car.
No. I would say the tree is to blame.
You would say the tree is to blame?
Yes, because
in my mind, when she says, we should stop.
Yeah.
I can't see anything. We should stop.
Well,
he should never have been driving. Now, Paul, we did do a trip this summer where we were driving, and I actually was reflecting
this
on
winter,
that watching
as a matter
this
of fact,
movie.
We've lost all
track
of time.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. It was winter. Sorry. Yeah, time has collapsed this past year and a half.
We are in the summer right now.
Right. So we did drive in a level of rain that felt similar to the rain that they were driving in. And there's an interesting line of setup where he says at one point about the weather will change in 5 minutes here.
Well,
doesn't he? And then the next morning after the crash, when the police arrive, it's still raining. So I am also very nervous about driving in rain. We did do that drive, Paul,
this past winter
in rain for like 3 hours. And I was, when I tell you I was a wreck, I mean, it took me a full day to come down from how anxiety.
June and driving in the dark and in rain has a lot of anxiety. I will say that this movie definitely brought that to the forefront. And where this movie really touched my heart was seeing Keanu behind the wheel of a minivan. I mean, more men behind the wheel of minivans. Oh, let's get here this culture going. People, come on. I thought that Keanu did a great job. Where I think he made his fatal mistake, and this is the character's mistake.
A great job driving or just a great job?
Oh, no. I'm just talking about
a great job covering up the deaths of his family.
There's so much I want to talk about here. You guys are saying
and breaking laws, both moral, ethical, and the laws of man, of society. I understand he's in Puerto Rico, so maybe there are different laws, but like we gotta like he's committed like crimes.
Are we to like our lead character in this movie? Because he does increasingly despicable things. But here's where I'll say that this man has something that that you really endear yourself. There's a, you know, a book in Hollywood called like Save the Cat. It's a movie writing technique book where you have to show your character doing something kind, so you're on board for whatever adventure they are in store for. So like if they save a cat in the first 5 minutes of a movie, then you are endeared to them because they're actually a nice person. And I think that Keanu did that in the moment where his wife is impaled by that tree. And instead of keeping his eyes on the road, he looks over at her to be like, hey, are you okay? Like, and that was his, and that's his fatal mistake, which was love. Mm. Like, if he would have just been like, you know what? I heard a tree come through the front window. I'm not going to check out my wife. I'm going to keep on driving. I'm going to pull over and then I'll safely inspect her. Then,
first of all, the minute she gets impaled on the tree, there's no way they can keep driving. Like, the car would come to an immediate stop if a tree stuck through that way enough to impale Alice Eve. Like they would, the car would stop.
That,
but yet,
that tree branch
came in. How come they never
find the car? Well, I have so many questions.
How come the police never find the car?
It was in a ravine, like, ass up. It wasn't even sinking.
There is no way. I mean, there are so many problems. Logic. I mean, I understand. Listen, I can't imagine the grief of losing in one accident your entire family. Right.
Right.
I cannot imagine. And so to enter into these 17 days where he enlists we haven't even gotten into. So Keanu Reeves is playing a scientist at a facility in Puerto Rico, mm-hmm. where he's trying to transfer consciousness from recently deceased people, soldiers in this case, into a robotic body, trying to take their consciousness and transfer it into an artificial intelligence, but controlling a robotic body.
And
right?
this robot is this robot is a classic, a classic one. I mean, this is a
now
weird...
you're saying robot. You're saying robot, and I'm wondering.
No, I was just joking. No, this robot is, this is like a grade one robot. It really is.
There's going to be so many questions here.
So many.
I have like 5 million questions.
Do
about
you
the
guys
robot.
Think in the 17 days, that he is cloning his entire family and having to maintain all their presences on their devices? Does he flirt, text with Juan,
well,
his daughter's boyfriend?
I felt like he was going that way. Like
how much is he keeping this up?
I mean, he kind of shuts down Juan, but then I feel like he has to learn how to play like El Diablo because he's like streaming games. And
I think that's why he killed Zoe, because he was like, she has no social media presence. But, like, she's the least tethered to the world.
Okay, so now you brought this up, so I want to talk about this. So his three children and his wife perish in the car accident. He enlists Thomas Middleditch,
who is... we're going to have a math problem pretty soon.
He enlists Thomas Middleditch, who's is one of the guys he works with at this facility that is creating this ability to transfer consciousness. And Thomas is like the cloning expert. They're not even... The facility they're at isn't even doing cloning. They're not even interested in cloning. What they're doing is
this
consciousness
is like
into robots.
Yeah. Thomas' side hustle.
Thomas's side hustle is I can clone things.
But
so
badly.
He's like, hey, can you clone my family? He brings Thomas to the lakeside site of the death.
Pause,
go.
Pause.
June, go.
Okay. Pause here. Stop here. So this was my first question. So Thomas arrives, Middleditch arrives, and I guess he just said on the phone, like, you gotta come to this location.
Meet me at mile marker 134.
I dropped a Google pin. Come here.
Yeah, come here. So he does. What a great friend. He just arrives. It's still raining out. He sees him in the side of the road flagging down the car. Now he then has to walk him. Now what he doesn't do is say, hey, friend, you're about to see something. You're about to see one of the worst things you've seen in your life.
Yeah. You're about to see something
Three
very grisly.
Three children are dead, and I've piled their bodies up in like a square, And there are four bodies total because my wife is also dead. You know these people.
Yeah.
Get ready to see their dead bodies.
You were just at my house. You were just at my house playing with them.
Yes. And that, yes. He's like an uncle to them, basically.
Mere moments ago. Yes.
And then Thomas says, "Hey, man, what's going on?" And Keanu says, "I told you, no questions." What? Like, that's not how this should begin.
First of all I wanted to see was Thomas seeing that scene of the bodies in the rain and just immediately start vomiting. Like, it would have been such a,
it was horrific. It was really just so terrible.
By the way, I will say this.
Yeah.
For a horrific car accident, they all survived. Like, nothing seemed wrong.
I have some other questions there because this is where things start to fall apart a little bit for me. So, again, doesn't give his friends a heads up, just takes him over to bear witness to this, like, devastating tableau that would literally take someone out for years to have to,
traumatic.
Like, have their eyes fall upon that. Yeah. So then the question becomes, can you clone them and can we get them into the pods? Then we'll get into this in a second, but Keanu has to make the terrible decision of which family members to choose because there's only three pods. Now, but before that, here's my question. Their bodies, we know that Mona, played by Alice Eve, has been impaled by a tree trunk.
Yes.
Her body, though, once we see it, has no signs of the death.
Oh, because I can explain that.
What
happened there? I can explain that. So these are clones of those people. These are not, they have not brought those bodies back to life.
Yeah, they were growing.
Those bodies have been, like, their bodies are, those people died.
But how did
pods
so
grew?
So when they clone them, though,
with their
aren't
DNA.
Aren't they cloning them off their actual bodies,
no,
though?
No, you're right. Their DNA.
Their, like, DNA.
They wouldn't be, like, recreating the accident of it. Now, I will
so
say
that's
that
why they
the
grow,
science is sound.
That's why they grow from, like, that's why they grow from small, like, they literally age rapidly from, like, fetuses into grown adults or children in the sense of,
I believe,
you know,
the line is when Middleditch shows up to his house with a tractor trailer with the three pods and a bunch of stuff, which I have no idea how he did this incognito or got all the stuff on the truck. And he goes, "Oh, what are all those boxes?" And he goes, "You know, fructose, sucrose, amino acids, you know, human bodybuilding stuff." Like
the building blocks of human life or whatever he says. Yeah.
Yeah. Like they come in a jar.
On Amazon Prime.
But it makes it seem so simple. It makes what they do seem like, we're just going to do this.
You could do it in a garage.
And you could do it in the basement of your house in Puerto Rico. When
we all know they don't have basements in Puerto Rico.
The thing that we can't seem to do in this $1 billion medical lab, you're going to crack it in your basement with your, like, your dead family as the guinea pigs. It was crazy. Now, here's my question. When he has, so there are three dead children and his dead wife. So four dead people. Neither Keanu nor Thomas have emotional reactions really much at all. Other than, like, oh my God. Oh no. They immediately shift into, like, the scientific mode of, like, can we, like, there was no, like, I never felt like anybody, like, truly processed the loss of what was happening. It immediately switched into, you got to take care of the bodies. Bring all that stuff here. Da-da-da, we need 17 days. We have three tanks. And now he's choosing which of his kids, which of his family members to not revive or to not to bring back. So they pick names out of a hat.
Like charade style.
Just because I think I can do it doesn't necessarily mean I can. Okay, there is a reason human cloning is banned, and just because it's hard to do is only half the issue here.
Just let me know what we need.
Look, William, I know you've been through hell, but you need to understand something here, okay? The first few animals I cloned came out blind. Their skulls were deformed. Their internal organs, they weren't internal anymore, man. That's what a mistake here means. And if we make a mistake, I need to know if you're prepared to terminate.
Just won't make a mistake.
Now, I can't help but feel And I'm curious. I can't help but feel if I'm in that position.
You made the wrong decision.
Wrong decision. You do not bring back your wife and you bring back all three children.
Of course. And I actually wanted to state publicly, Paul, that if you ever find yourself with two pods,
this is important.
And all three of us are dead.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And you have an opportunity to clone us.
Mm-hmm. Wait, can I ask a question before you answer?
Be my last will and testament. Go ahead, Jason.
Is Sergeant Meatball also deceased?
I think you could put a dog in one. I think you could,
you
but here's
put a
my
dog
issue
in with another person. Can I just say, please let me go.
Okay, I appreciate that, and you got it. I will do it for you. Here's what I want to say about this, and this is my.
I would love this movie so much more if it wasn't a guy who's like a bioengineer scientist, but it's a comedian. It's a comedian who's like, I gotta figure out how to clone my kids.
Because he must know, and that's why I think he deleted Mona's memory. Because if I were to come back to life as a replica, and you told me I chose you instead of one of our children, I'd be so fucking mad. I would be so angry.
I have so many things to say, and I've been holding my tongue on some of them, and I just want to, I will list them off very quickly and say, first of all, why can't we use the pod again? Why are we so insistent on being like, and I know
think
he doesn't
I know
want
the to, answer to that.
Okay. And if it's just that he wants them all to wake up at the same time, he doesn't want to have that 17-day gap, I'm going to say to bring back my child, I'm going to bridge that gap. I would keep them in that coma state for the way that he did for those first couple of days.
And start up another pod.
And do another 17 days. Let's get back in there. They try and
speak to that at one point. They have a back and forth, which basically amounts to, it doesn't really matter because basically the decision that he makes is that all the family will wake up together and they won't have to know their replicas, right?
Right.
But the reality is, like, day two of them regaining consciousness, he tells them all their replicas. He gives up the ghost
this
immediately.
This is where I thought there was going to be, this was turning into actually a very interesting horror film because Alice Eve, who I thought played this beautifully. I thought she was just wonderful. And she has a couple moments once she's a replica where I was like, she's got to kill everyone.
I thought that would have been an interesting move if the replicas, if he goes through all of this, if he goes through all of this to bring them back and they turn on him,
and they're
I was
evil.
Like, that's interesting.
Well, yes. But here's the other issue with my problem with that performance. Not that she didn't do a great job. I feel like they didn't do enough writing on the front end to establish her as a character because whenever she did those like turns where you thought she was going to kill people, I'm like, is this the way she normally is or is this different? I don't have a baseline because the only baseline I have is her saying essentially setting up they're all going to die. She's like, you're working too hard. You shouldn't do this. He's like, I have to do this. All right, let's go. Let's go in the van. And she's like, aye, Captain Ahab. And that's basically, that's as much like as we know of her before she is killed. So it's very hard to be like, is she different based on that?
I guess that's true.
It was really, I thought it was very interesting that so much of the movie, because I got really far into the movie before I was like, wait a minute. This movie basically only has four people in it, five people in it, really. Yeah. There are no, every exterior, there's no extras. Mm-hmm. Zero extras, no city street extras, no in the lab. Like there's the people who speak lines and then there's maybe one other person in the background. Like this movie must
even
have
when
been
they're in those crowded hallways or not zero. No, I should say zero people.
Few. It's John Ortiz, right, who's playing the bad guy. The face of the kind of corporation.
Biogen. And
then there are the kind of lab techs who work with Keanu to try and do this kind of robot thing. Now what happens is he immediately leaves all that behind and it is in his house. So for the first hour of the movie, it's basically just Keanu in his basement alone doing Minority Report like style hand like hand enhancing, like virtual reality computer screen because he's wearing like some sort of headset. That shit, all I want is to get a job someday where I get to do this hand stuff where you dig in and he gets really, you get really excited. It's like when the scene in the movie in Swordfish when Hugh Jackman is hacking and it looks like he's like playing, he's trying to make it look like he's playing guitar.
I've talked to somebody who is in one of these big movies that got to do hand stuff. And he was like, awesome. It's the best thing because you do whatever you want and they just match it later. Yeah. So like, I actually started to really enjoy Keanu's hand acting because I actually thought it was very specific and moving things and pulling things in, you know, like Tom Cruise, you know, I think he did some good hand acting, but I think Keanu Reeves here is going to win the moving things around. Also,
I'll take Keanu over Tom Cruise every day.
I mean, I also feel
every
like
every day of the week.
I don't want to get into this is unbelievable, but I will say it was bold to be able to pinpoint one person in your family and be like, I'm going to erase them. Like, and they say it like, oh, well, it's easy. We lose memories all the time, but we don't lose like a person from memories. And I was like, so I guess in my mind, I was like, did he take away everything?
Yeah.
Well, or did he just take away her from the memory? Like, if he went on a camping trip.
Basically, when you watch him do it, it's literally like what's happening on the screen is essentially he's control F in, and he goes into like his wife's entire memory.
Yeah.
Control F Zoe. Is that the daughter's name?
Yeah.
Control F Zoe and then delete.
He just deletes Zoe as
if the mind is a document that you can just, you know, sift through. But well, what but I couldn't
we are,
figure
we will
out
learn
is
learn that it's not because Zoe well, yes. lingers. The memory but that, of Zoe
but things
lingers.
Linger, but also like let's just say for example, like Zoe is in school. They must have cousins and family.
Right, like they even didn't control delete. Everybody's memory.
Like,
Zoe.
Mustn't there be somebody who's going to walk up at some point and be like, how's Zoe? Where's Zoe? And people are going, what?
Sure. There was for such, sure. I mean, that's why he wanted to move back to the mainland. There was such, and by the way, he would be recognized on the mainland too. There was such a moment that screamed reshoot scene. And it was the moment where Middleditch is at his house. He walks in and Middleditch is like, hey man, what the fuck are you doing? Because none of this makes sense. What do you think? Like, people aren't going to ask. Your wife isn't going to show up to work. You're the friends. Like, he basically just calls out every single plot hole. Yeah. And it is wild.
What did you say?
I said that Matt had chicken pox and that he went to stay with his grandparents.
His grandparents are dead, Ed. How am I going to explain that?
I don't know, William. Don't drag me into your giant sucking hole of lies, okay? You didn't call the school, make something up?
No.
What about the clinic that Mona works at? It's been 5 days. You didn't think that anyone would notice your entire family was missing?
I've had a lot of things on my mind, Ed.
Yeah, sorry, man.
It basically sets up a montage where they try and like explain that Keanu is not only doing cutting edge cloning in his basement of not just doing it as like I'm a kind of Dr. Frankenstein type of person. Like, can I do this? He's doing it so that he can bring back his family.
And
he's
this...
both doing that. He's also trying to keep his business going and pretending like nothing's going on. He's also impersonating his entire family on social media.
He's got a lot going on. It's been a big week. Frankly, too much going on.
I need to go back and just say, but at the end of the day, if they were to reintegrate, everyone would be like, where is Zoe?
Where's your sister?
Where is Zoe?
Yeah, like I got your Christmas card this year.
Yeah.
Zoe's not in it.
Where's
like,
Zoe?
Did I miss a memorial?
All I would have done.
Like, a 6-year-old has perished.
I just also want to say he is also the prime suspect in a rash of car battery thieves.
Car battery thievery. And by the way, like, there is so. I want to just
that
talk.
That never comes back. Don't worry.
Never.
Well, it, yeah. I mean,
and by the power never goes out. They set that whole thing up, and I was like, well, the power's got to go. That must be.
And they would come back mutated. We are missing the Frankenstein part of the story. Like, that's what we're really missing here. There is, like, this is a modern day Frankenstein.
Yes,
but there's no Frankenstein part. It's like, no, and it worked.
Yeah. Well, the Frankenstein's monsters, the family, are for the most part just all, you know, they have phantom memories or they have some things, and the music tells us to be nervous or scared of them. But at the end of the movie, they're like, they're all reunited and it's everything's fine and they get to live their lives happily ever after.
Well, I got a big question.
I want to hear your question, June. I just want to say one thing. I know I just promised you that I wouldn't bring you back to life, but would you take this? Can I put this on the table?
Go ahead.
I bring back our kids. 17 days. I shoot them in the eyeballs with a needle. I don't know how that technically works, but anyway, I get their memories back. They're fine. And I don't erase. I don't do Control F June or Mama. I know they call you both. And I say to them,
June.
what if you erased June from their memories, but didn't think to erase Mama? And so they were like, where's Mama? And you were like, fuck.
Oh, fuck. So this is what I do. They wake up and we're having breakfast with the spoiled milk. And they say to me, where is Mama? And I say to them, I look at them in the eyes and I say, Mama's on a 17-day business trip. She'll be back in 17 days. And they go, got it. And then I'm buying you some time, because at any point, I know that we kind of addressed like why you didn't bring back Zoe, but.
No, I appreciate that. Like, give it the old college try. Like,
let's try.
Don't pull the plug until you're clear there are no other possibilities and those pods can't be reused.
As we see at the end of the movie, he does bring back Zoe.
Okay, how though?
Well, because did he control F and then did he have a backup drive? Because like, when he made that deletion, he didn't seem like he was like, let me just put it over like in a side file just
in case.
He had
to get her DNA. He had to go into her body.
He has Zoe's hard drive, right? He has Zoe's hard drive. It's one of the only things he takes with him when they leave the house is Zoe's hard drive.
Right.
And so what my guess is, you know how he puts the helmet on his daughter, who he did bring back because she remembers the car accident?
Yeah.
And he extracts the memories of the car accident like there.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is he has the ability to replace memories theoretically. Either
so
one of two
popping
things.
Popping things in
one
and
of
out.
Two things. Either at some point he gets the ability to reclone Zoe. Great.
Right.
So he either is introducing her to the family and she is just integrated into the family and is a new member that they don't really remember, or he's able to put that little helmet on every family member. I don't think so.
I think what we're taking away in that last beat, Jason, is that you can't ever delete Zoe. You can't ever delete like the love of a child. Now, I will say what I'm worried about with Zoe is years from now, Zoe finds out like she was the one who was chosen to die.
For a couple of days.
I would love it if the sequel is Zoe takes a villain turn when she finds out she wasn't brought back.
I mean, how do you process that?
But like, I want to go back to you, June, and say this. First of all, so you're saying that Keanu didn't put that helmet on everybody and restore Zoe, that you're just saying that the echo of Zoe is there because they didn't have a full memory of her.
It wasn't a full memory, but I believe that it was never what we were taking away as an audience was that, you know, science, schmience, technology, who cares? Like what the connection between,
family.
Barry? I'm sorry?
Do you remember Barry?
Who's Barry?
Exactly. Okay, it worked.
Whoa.
Just need to check in on that really quickly.
So you put the helmet on and made June remember both seasons of Barry on HBO?
But I wrote down here though, this movie is a comedy. This movie is a comedy. It really truly is, like, because it's like he's getting caught with the helmet on his daughter's head. He's running around. There's
that
like spilt
crazy.
Milk.
What are you doing?
The funniest scene, without a doubt, is when he zaps his own eyeball in the stall,
yeah,
in the handicapped stall in the bathroom at work. He does like experimental lab work in the bathroom stall at work while his boss is there talking to him.
And he goes, and then when he comes out of there, and he takes that needle through his eye, like as if you would take a shot. Like, that's a fucking high, that's a high intensity needle going through your
eye. It's an eighth inch. Like stainless steel needle. Yeah. It is a high gauge needle. It's not like a needle and thread needle. It is thick. It's like a metal straw.
Used on dead people. And this is a man sitting on a toilet seat doing it to himself. And then the next scene, Thomas is like, "Hey man, are you crying blood?" Yeah. Like, I mean, this is a comedy. Like,
and then Thomas unfazed is like, "Oh no, you didn't." And he's like, "I did. I downloaded my own con." Like, everybody talks at this, nobody modulates emotionally at all. Everybody is firmly in the middle ground of, we're having a normal conversation about absolute chaos.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I mean, true, at a certain point, like Keanu Reeves, like at a certain point, this is Keanu Reeves is like creating like monstrous chaos in his life rather than deal with the emotional trauma and guilt and loss and grief associated with what has just happened to him.
And that's where he loses me, right? Because and it's not Keanu's fault, but what ends up happening for like a solid 40 minutes, I mean, really the rest of the movie, is that he spends so much time kind of managing his children's social media profiles and explaining
comedy
and writing emails from Mona.
Comedy.
That we start
My
to,
bae? Question mark?
Yeah. That we start to feel so disconnected from the why. Like, the reason why he's doing this all is to bring these people he loves and I think can't live without back to life. And it just feels, it really does feel like he's committed a terrible crime.
Well,
he's covering it up.
Well, I mean, and this is my issue. The humanity scale on this movie is so weird because at points it's too much, man. It's too much emotion. And at other points it's too little emotion. Like, it's hard to justify. Like, I want to just go back to truly the most despicable relationship in the entire movie is Keanu and Thomas. Like, just think about what he made him do. Meet me at this mile marker. Here's my dead family. Don't say a fucking word. Get your shit over to my house. I don't care if you lose everything.
He tells him you get rid
of the bodies.
You and have now to deal with the bodies.
And now you got to pick who's going to die. And thank God at that point, Middleditch is like, motherfucker, But like, he is being told. And then we only find out later, which I do believe is another reshoot scene, where Middleditch is like, I couldn't get rid of the bodies. I'm glad to hear that he had a hard time getting rid of...
Wait, so where did the bodies go?
We don't know. I thought he would burn them.
I think what we're meant to intimate from that scene is that at that point, Thomas went to the bad guy and told him what was going on. That's
so
why the
early?
Bad guy...
So early? Because the bad guy only comes to the house like 18 days later.
But he knows everything that's happened.
Okay.
He knows that they're clones. He knows he says, you know, that's 345, that's 346, 347, 348. Those are subjects. Those are my property. I know everything you've been doing.
Right.
I think Thomas has been keeping John Ortiz in the loop the whole time.
Okay.
And that's why, that's partially why I think he's been allowed to continue to do it in a way, you know, like, But Thomas is the one who's like cleaning up the newspapers and is talking to the teacher and has to be like, buddy, you're not doing this right. For somebody who is truly committed a major crime, you look like and are acting like someone who has committed a major crime.
Well, I mean, one of the things that I thought was a great touch of set deck was when he's told he can't leave the basement, right? And at a certain point, he makes Middleditch come over there yet again and watch it's like watching a souffle. If too much, and it will explode on itself. So you have to really keep it, but he has this cot.
Human life. It's like a souffle.
That's the shirt. And so we just have a body break, a body with a belly breaking up or down. So, so there, on, he has this like little cot that he's sleeping on in the basement, and above his cot is like a mantle of family photos. And I thought that was like such a weird thing. It's like, okay, you're sleeping under a mantle, a homemade mantle of family photos. And then on each one of the pods is like a picture of them too, as if he would forget. What they, I mean, they're going to be their own versions. It was such a weird, there was so much housekeeping done in that.
Well, it
basement.
Was like that. It's like they have these things where it's like, they're constantly telling you, like, there's, the exposition is really clunky in this, unfortunately, because, you know, they set the tanks up and Thomas is like, okay, 17 days. In 17 days, these clones will be the right ages that they need to be. They have to link up, right?
Oh, wait, but he does write, he does go, he goes, I need them all to be together. Yes, and then Thomas exactly. is like, okay.
Let me figure that out.
Let me do some math. 17 yeah. days.
So he figures that out. And then 17 days comes. Thomas shows up and is like, well, today's the day. And then he's like, I need more time. And he's like, I'm going to sedate them. We're going to take them out. So then it the clock resets and he goes, okay, you have 3 more days. And I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Is this movie going to keep moving the deadline for when this is going to happen? And why are you continuing to stall, movie?
Because he couldn't put the brains in, right? Because he couldn't figure out. Because the first time we see him introduce the premise.
This man is dead, yet his neurological data is still accessible. We are going to take his biological brain, imprint it into that synthetic brain, replicate the human mind.
He sets up the premise, but it seems like these are the two lab assistants he's working with. He's not doing a presentation for anyone.
Yeah.
He's just basically like, yeah, we know. We've been doing this with you multiple
Anybody
times.
Anybody in that room, he gives a full expositional download as to what the process they're about to do is. These are the 5 people who've been doing it 345 times.
They're well aware.
You don't
well
need
aware.
To tell them what we're doing here
they created
is.
Created it with you.
Exactly.
It's like going to get your oil change at Pep Boys and going, okay, guys, so here's the deal.
Yeah.
Today.
Anybody.
We are going to take the oil out. We're going to put new oil in, and hopefully this car will have a changed oil.
At any point, any of those people who work with him would be like, hey, man, are you okay? Like, do you think we don't know what we're doing? Like,
I also want to get back to, for 1 second, what the plan was for 3, 4, 5, the robot. And,
yeah.
And because I really was left confused as to how Keanu seemed to clone himself into the robot, and then that version of himself at the end of the movie is working for BioLab or BioMed.
Right. Well, no, he's off on his own thing. That robot.
Okay, well, they're
next robot.
Adventure.
Yeah, that robot.
That
is
robot that. And John Ortiz have teamed up for.
And that
something.
Robot. That robot put on a suit. That robot is like.
Oh
get
my god!
Me
the robot is
suit.
Wearing a suit in the final
Why
scene.
Why does the robot have eyes?
Well, it's got to have eyes to see.
Well, this is what I believe. This is a question I have about why do we build. Why are we so focused on human beings as the model? Why do we build robots that are bipedal? Why do we build robots that walk on 2 legs? Wouldn't it be smarter to build robots like, and they do, but that are like bugs?
But or I, that think, are like, I think what you know, they were trying to do here was game the system. If I can take your consciousness out and put it in a human form, will you not reject it? Now, what we see from Sergeant Kelly in the very beginning is Sergeant Kelly's first reaction is to rip his own face off. Now, by the way, Robot Face Off, I want to see that movie. But yeah. It, like his first reaction is like, that's not my body. Let me rip my face off. And what Keanu figures out, and this is to answer your question, June, Keanu figures out like, oh, you need to like have like a mind body connection. That's what he hadn't been doing. So he was able to do that with himself. And that
so
was
had
the,
that officer
that was a leap
known
forward.
Beforehand that he was going in. He might have had a shot.
Keanu could have done it. I don't know why this next one failed. Oh, because the body was too dead.
Yeah, it was too decayed.
I also feel like, why didn't they just restrain him and give him a little time to acclimate to being in that? To being a robot.
Because I think he felt like his consciousness was not in his body.
Well, yeah, what they're trying to explain is what's happening is that the mind is rejected. The mind is expecting to be inside of an organic thing. And that when it looks and finds that it's inside of an inorganic thing, it like the mind can't rationalize or justify that reality that it is not. It's, you know, it's not looking at an organic being. And
yes,
it completely melts down. Well,
now let me ask you another question here. And I want to throw this to both of you. I know both of you are not in the military, and we respect everybody who serves, and thank you for your service. If I was a military person who was killed and then put into a body and someone was trying to calm me down, do you think it would be better or worse if they only referred to me as my rank? They kept on calling him Sergeant Kelly. In my mind, I would be like, Mark, hey, Mark, like, you know, because I feel like Sergeant Kelly was too formal. Like, let's bring him in.
So you think he should have come in and be like, "Hi, Mark."
Hi, Mark.
It should have been like the room.
Mark. Yeah.
I just hi, like, Mark.
Hi. I do feel like it It'd was like, too formal.
Does he have any favorite movie quotes? Is there anything? Is there any personal inside jokes?
Yes. I mean, I've honestly, like, I think it was too aggressive. Like Sergeant Kelly. It's like, hold on, like you are
it
not.
It wasn't a great like.
It wasn't a great
integration.
The other thing that surprised me was how rapidly that process went. Like they were able to upload the soldier's consciousness to the little helmet, like in 15 seconds, and then upload it into the robot in 15 seconds. Like I would think that process would be time consuming just in order to understand the magnitude of what is being done.
They've done it 3,475 times. I mean, so maybe in the first 1,000 times.
300.
So so let's say the first 100 times it took maybe like 45 to an hour, 25, you know, and now they got it down to a sign. They got that part down.
What's really interesting about the movie, and I don't mean to say it's really interesting because it's not really interesting, is that the movie like posits two separate tracks. One of which is like, this idea of uploading our consciousness, this idea of that we can transcend our organic forms by uploading our consciousness to the internet, to another being, So I feel like people, there's this real idea of like, okay, what if you could put the human brain into a inorganic thing and live forever or live longer or whatever? Okay, that's interesting. But they kind of put that to the side and then spend most of the movie doing this different movie that's about human cloning that also includes putting people's like consciousnesses into another form. But that form is decidedly organic and is predicated on Thomas's ability to clone organic material, which is not, it seems to me to be not at all what
biotech or whatever the company
is all about.
And also Thomas seems to have not have been successful at it. There's a million different ways that this movie could have gone. One, have them come out, be evil. Two, have them come out and be monsters. Three, have them come out and just have no memory of anything and have him continually try. But it's everything. There is no obstacle.
Here's another one. Yeah. Here's another one. The what they're working on at the office is human cloning, and
the
problem they're having is they can't get the person's consciousness into the organic thing, into the body. They can't make that thing work. So the thing that he has to solve with his family is the thing he can't solve at work. But what's difficult is the movie's telling you that's what his problem is, but his problem
it's
is
really
actually
not.
Twofold.
Yes.
His problem is both cloning successfully and putting people's consciousness into those clones so that those people believe they never die.
Like his whole thing is, and I think this is the difference, is, and if you were to ask the screenwriter or Keanu to explain it to you, he would say, I don't care about what it goes into. I'm the brain map guy.
Yeah.
Like brain mapping is my thing. If I can figure out brain mapping, check please. And I think Thomas is like, I got my own thing over here. So he basically is like, look.
Paul, you just got a check delivered to you.
What? Wow. This is nice from Universal.
How much was that?
$1,500. Oh,
wow. Awesome.
Oh, yeah. All right. Thank
what
you.
Did you order?
Let me assign that. Hold on. Yeah, there you go. No, no, Vera.
Just for the listeners at home, Paul is podcasting from a restaurant.
I do think that there is something. And by the way, it was a a great omelet, and I wanted to try it because it was on the menu and it was $1,500. But it had gold shavings, gold and caviar. Flex, yeah. Yeah, it was really.
You're
Jewish.
Shooting an episode of Most Expensivest, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That Vice show where they eat like very expensive food that has gold in it and stuff.
I will tell you this much. I think that that's where they are drawing the line. Like, okay, he's a brain mapper, and he just happens to get into cloning on the side.
That's so convenient. I mean, it's really, yeah, there's just a much simpler movie in here.
Way simpler.
And even like if they were working backwards and wanted like that robot at the end to be Keanu, like I still feel like we could have ended there without having to go through like all these machinations that were really quite confusing.
What could have been cool is if he's like, he basically uploads his consciousness into the robot and then clones all of his family and kills himself.
Oh.
Is that possible? I don't know if that's
possible. Clones like, his so family that, as robots or
no, as people, organic, as organic things so that he takes himself. I don't know. Like now I'm just saying, is there a version of the movie that ends with he's only living inside of the robot instead of he gets to live both as himself and his consciousness is the robot as well.
I mean, Replicas 2, bring it on, because we now have two Keanus running around
in this
world.
Is that the title? Is that the working title? Replicas 2, bring it on.
Yeah, and it's weird because
they're a cheerleader team.
Well, they can do it because it's done by Universal, so that's the reason why. Smart. They can bring it back. So yeah, the cover is going to be a little bit like that. It's a weird movie because I've never seen like a sci-fi, dark futuristic technology thing with really zero consequences. The evil thing in this movie, the bad thing in this movie is the company he's working for, Shocker, is not in this for the right reasons. They're in it because they want to make, soldiers into, pilots to do bombing missions. Like they want to do, like, they want to basically just have like manned warships.
Well, wasn't he also saying like, what if you could put the hacker in the machine or something like that? Like it was nefarious. Like surprise, the corporation that you thought was like a medical technology corporation is in fact like some sort of sketchy pro-military kind of bad guy, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, maybe that justifies why no one was in the building, because no one else was working there. It was all dummy front. Like, they basically built this building to convince Keanu Reeves.
I mean, that poor security guard at the hospital where Mona works. First of all, I love that Alice Eve's name is Mona in this movie.
Wow. When I first saw that piece of paper and him write down her name, I was like, Mona?
You don't hear that.
I mean, that's the name. That's a name for like 76-year-old woman.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a name that only exists on Who's the Boss nowhere else.
Well, right. Like if you're Mona, you're usually a neighbor.
Can you imagine if one of your kids was in school and there was like a little kid named Mona? That would be like, I guess maybe Ramona.
Cute, actually,
maybe it's a nickname for Ramona, which I could understand.
Can we talk about the celebrity style way of the pick? I know we talked about the pick before. Like he puts all their names in a salad bowl, and his decision of who he's not going to revive is based on who he pulls out. So it could have been a wife. It could have been his kid. It could have been anybody.
It couldn't have been his wife because he set her aside in the beginning, babe. He was only choosing.
Yes.
Poole was only those
okay.
three.
He was like, I got to have my Mona.
Yeah.
Well, he's like, Mona or bust. Like, yeah. No one coming back.
He's
Mona
like, you know what? He calls Thomas again. He's like, you know what? Just bring one of the pods. bring one of the pods.
He's like, I wanted a lot more. These kids, like,
if I can erase these kids' memories from my wife's mind, we're about to have a great life.
By the way, I got to say, I want to talk about two things and say, how should I reveal one of these things? I will say this. I felt like the bad guy at a certain point was like, hey, man, go in there and fuck her. And then, you know, give her back to me.
Just that.
Right. Like he was like going there, like, but it was like so weird.
One last hurrah.
It was like so weird. But here's the other thing. That scene made me cry. Scene where he was picking the kids, because like I really felt like
the scene where he's picking the kids,
not to go in and fuck her. The scene where
I was like,
the kids,
wow, that's pretty weird.
Yeah, I was like, all right, well, but there was something so sad about it because he really felt like he was wrestling with what kid do I like the most, what kid do I like the least, like,
yeah,
and it was a very challenging moment, and I just felt like if I was Middleditch, I would have picked for him. I think it was a real... I think in that moment, that's the one thing that Thomas should have done.
If I'm Middleditch in that moment, I'm like, dude, your wife would want you to bring back all three kids. She would say, don't bring me back. Like, you're not that, you don't want that reckoning, you know?
Yeah.
Where she realizes, and I mean...
I hate to keep on going back to it.
They figure it out immediately. Like, everybody, like, you know, the daughter says, who's Zoe? The mother drops something. The mother's like, there's pictures missing. I remember this. I remember. Like, they remember within hours. They all remember.
Of course.
Well, I mean, I think that's not about the human. That's not about love conquers all. I think that's more about Keanu is overworked, overstressed, and didn't do a good enough job cleaning up the house. I think he needed, he's watching those. He's watching those pots and he's trying to.
He's got to keep playing video games with his son's friends. He's got to keep.
This is what I was asking about the body, though, because when she goes out for a run, she's never felt better, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
So when she wakes up, she's like, I want to get at this day. Like, I feel alive, you know?
I was frankly surprised they didn't have a sex scene in order to show you, like, he did it. Like, he got back to... their version of it is like, we're all having breakfast together. Okay. Yes, we're a family again. Breakfast.
But she does have a pain right in the area where she was impaled by a tree trunk. So,
because she's remembering it.
So you're saying
she has like a phantom memory of it.
So she has just like a phantom body pain. Okay.
She's like, ooh, right. Like, it's like, yeah. Like, yeah.
That's what it felt like to me. She has like some sort of phantom feeling of like a memory or a pain or something.
Yeah, and then the daughter has a fever later that day, which was interesting too, because it was like, oh, not so.
Again, he has, for the very first time in human history, a human clone has been successfully created, not just one, but three, and their entire consciousnesses have been uploaded into their cloned bodies. Like, they have done, these two men in a basement in Puerto Rico have done something that scientists at the top level have not been able to, they haven't even been able to clone a person yet, never mind a person who has
There's no reason why it worked. It wasn't like, okay, well, I've never tried this before. Well, I mean, but yeah, like, there's no, okay, if we're going to do this, we'll have to use this, but I've never used it. Like, I feel like that's what you needed. No, it was like, oh yeah, well, I may have done it, but sometimes it doesn't work. I mean, it's a real crapshoot. And he's like, okay, I'll take the crapshoot odds. And like, I thought, oh, well, he's going to have to kill one of them.
You know what here's what it should have been almost, right? It almost should have been like, okay, so they set it up, the power, Thomas even says the power can't go out. If these pods aren't powered for 7 minutes, it's game over, right?
Yeah.
And what should have happened is there was like a power outage, everybody died. All the clones died or whatever, or, you know, the 7 minutes, there's a tension, the time is clicking, you know, 7 minutes, and it's just past 7 minutes, and there's little readouts and all the things flatline. Then, like Dr. Frankenstein, a lightning bolt hits the house, and it supercharges the tanks, and it brings them all to life. Then I'm like, okay, there is now something that is, he and Thomas didn't do this all themselves. Like, he kind of failed,
right.
But
you
like.
You need like a supernatural moment. You need a
something.
Moment. You need a liar moment, like when the kid blows
something
out the candle.
Needs
I wish
to happen.
My dad
would
lie.
It just seemed like, oh, they didn't have the bodies. You know, they didn't have the dead bodies available.
Wait, what?
They didn't have the dead bodies.
No, I'm saying like in this version of it, it seemed like, oh, they would have figured this out a while ago, but they didn't have access to dead bodies in a space to do this.
Yeah.
Oh, right. So like they have like, so the idea being that like they could only do it on rabbits and bunnies, but humans, you just put some of that gunk in there. Look,
they didn't, I mean, like the business, Biogen or whatever, they're not even interested in humans. They are only interested in robots.
It's a side hustle.
So the fact that this isn't even what their main thrust of anybody's expertise is it's bizarre, frankly.
I mean, and I will say this, the dialogue in this movie is so extraordinarily clunky to the point where I was like, I started laughing at long scenes because they're God bless them. They're trying to explain what's going on. And it just becomes like, it just feels like science. Do you believe me? Like they're just
and then
barreling
and then
through
like
it.
When it all kind of unravels at the end, like they kind of are just like to the kids, they're just like bad guys are after us and we have to run. Okay, and then now there's something in okay. How about when they take their cloned when Keanu loads his cloned family into the car, drives to the hospital, and shocks them all with a defibrillator in order to negate the tracking devices, what? That are somehow inside of their bodies?
Well, because I guess they're like, they all have tiles inside of them. Like, you know,
they
like,
all, like they all have like, they have the equivalent of like, find my child on your iPhone, find my iPhone, but in each of them. It's so weird that they like literally, and the kids are like, okay, yeah, sure, hook me up and fully defibrillate me. Like,
and
she
then
wasn't
the mom
thrilled
says,
about it when the mom's, when Mona's like, her heart may stop. The teenage girl was like, whoa.
And then, but Mona kind of says, you got something bad in you, mama's got to take it out. And yeah. And I was like, all right, that's a good, I'll buy it. There's a lot of just quickly, let's jump in. I mean, even when Keanu immediately agrees with the robot Keanu, not even thinking in his own mind, like, what have I done? I've unleashed my consciousness in a super strong, like he makes, him and the robot make a plan, an evil plan to be like, hey, don't rat me out. Let me keep my family. If you can go into business with this robot, you'll make a lot of money. Like he creates like a fucking evil master plan in a second.
He's like,
and
good?
The robot's like, got it.
Sooner or later, they'll find you.
Not if we work together.
Hell, are you negotiating?
What if I told you there's another way, Jones? Give us what we want and you can live again. As a very rich man.
Do we have a deal? See you soon, Bill.
I'll handle it from here, William.
Are you sure? You'll have to stay behind.
There's no other way. You take care of the family.
This movie is about a man who is so selfish and so unwilling to live with the grief and the loss of what has happened that he like not only undoes like natural order, but causes multiple other deaths as a result.
How do you figure?
It's him. I mean, like he is essentially why Thomas is killed. He is essentially robot. The robot kills a bunch of the biogen guys.
That's true. But
like,
and at
Keanu's,
the end of the thing, he's made an evil plan, keeping alive old rich people. Like he has created an evil empire.
He's created a villain.
Yeah,
like it's an origin story for like robot bespoke suited robot Keanu and John Ortiz. Like these guys are villains now.
Send him in.
I think that is true. But I did, you know, again, if I had the opportunity to keep people alive that I loved who died up at my hand, really, you know, to me, his fatal, I honestly think the biggest problem with Keanu in this movie and what he can really be faulted for is loving his wife too much.
Oh, wow.
I really do think that.
I agree.
He was so obsessed with her that he's staring at her to figure out if she's okay when that tree impales her. And it's like, buddy, you got to stop the car and look at your three kids in the back seat.
And why are you driving anyway? June and I just watched another movie that she convinced me was going to be good, and it was not. The Woman in the Window, whatever that Netflix movie was, you thought it was going to be a real thriller. But there is a similar plot twist in that too. So many people are like taking a long reaction shot at someone else in the car. Like, I feel like, I want you to know, June, if a tree branch ever came in right through your chest, I would keep my eyes on the road 100% and get off at the first exit or rest stop.
You know what I would do? Start braking. I would hit the brakes. You know what I wouldn't do? Just keep going and start looking around. Like, start braking. Like, when that truck almost hits them, I'm going to start braking then. I'm going to pull off. And catch my breath.
Take a second.
And be like, wow, that
was
close.
A shoulder. I don't think one of the problems was there was no shoulder.
Oh, okay. And I think part of this movie and what I loved about it was about the infrastructure of Puerto Rico. Yes, it's a beautiful place. Yes, it has like a home for science, but also we could use a little bit better roads. And I think that's, you know, honestly, wow. Like, yeah, I think that that's wow. something that, look, that's...
So you think part of this movie is calling out the infrastructure inequalities in Puerto Rico?
I mean, yeah, I do think that that's what makes wow. the movie really work.
Holy and cow.
That's what
interesting.
And to me, what Statehood I what
for
resonated
Puerto Rico,
with me.
I'll say it again. I'm dead ass serious. Statehood for Puerto Rico.
Absolutely.
Let's bring it there. Well, obviously, we have opinions about the statehood for Puerto Rico. Would you be interested in hearing some other opinions about this film? Or, you know, we can continue to talk about it. But I wanted to show you guys what other people thought, because now it is time for second opinions.
The movie was a piece of shit, yet this person recommends it. Tell me what is the message. Maybe that art is subjective. I need a second opinion.
Thank you, John LaJoie. These are second opinions culled from Amazon. The average rating for this movie, 4.1 out of 5 stars.
Wow.
53% of the reviews are 5-star reviews. There are 7,000 reviews on the site. And this one is written by C Friendly Guy. And I think it's a Frenchman. Or I think that's what he's going for, C Friendly Guy. And he has a picture, first time I've ever seen a picture. This is written May 8th, 2020. The title is Died and Come Back to Life. This is a real sci-fi movie. If you like artificial intelligence, you will love this. It's not just because of Keanu. It's what he does and how believable he and his coworkers in the lab are. You got, all in caps, you gotta see what he does. It's a miracle. If it really happened, I mean, why this movie didn't win an Oscar or something, I am surprised.
Wow.
5 stars.
Amazing. Why this movie didn't win an Oscar or something? That's incredible.
Or something. This one right here is from Artem, and the title is, If You Like Transcendence with Johnny Depp, You'll Like This One.
That's what I was
one.
Trying to think of. Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
There's also that Arnold Schwarzenegger movie where he did cloning too. This is the line that I like. I only took one line from it. I was on the tip of my toes during the entire movie. Very intense.
I don't think
that that's a phrase, tip of my toes.
Holy, I was on the tip of my toes, like standing on the tip, standing on tiptoes, you know?
I guess.
I was on tippy toes. I think it is a phrase.
Tippy toes?
I was on the edge of my seat. The edge of my seat.
Edge
is
of my seat,
want.
But that, yeah, not like on the edge
or
of my
toes. Or the tip
toes.
Of my tongue walking is
on,
a phrase.
Yeah.
I was walking on eggshells. Yeah. As someone who often butchers things like that, like Biff Tannen in Back to the Future, I know that that one is not right. This one's written by Mab, and it is a 5-star review, even though the title is Okay on a Rainy Day, If Nothing Else to Watch. And then the review, that's the title, and then the review is Great Movie. Doesn't have any good supporting actors or nude scenes. 5 stars. And then this is the one that I thought was also a little aggressive, but I the reviews here are so weird. This is called Don't Assume, and it's written by Ivan the Reviewer. And Ivan the Reviewer says, this may be one of Keanu's best films. He didn't have to make this movie, but he did. And he threw himself completely into it. Dad bod and all. Keanu rocks this role, and you end up questioning his character's ethics and heart at every step of the way. Brilliant. I don't know if he really had dad bod. I thought that was kind of a slight on him.
I don't know that do we even see his body? Does he have a shirtless scene?
No.
Clothes. I mean, I thought he looked great.
He always looks great.
He always looks great.
He's not getting dad bod. Keanu Reeves never getting dad bod. He may be, yeah, whatever.
What is it? What technically is dad bod?
Dad bod is just like a softer physique.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's not like, it's just soft.
Because, I mean, I will say Keanu in like the John Wick movies, what I like about Keanu is like, he is not like all muscular and ripped up and like vascular.
Right.
And he doesn't look like he's on steroids and is all jacked up, you know?
He
looks like a 54-year-old man who's in good shape, which is great,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of people who like dad bods too.
Okay.
And here is the final review I will read.
Which, wait, can I ask, yeah, is this at all related to the word zaddy?
No. Zaddy, okay, is different. I mean, how would you describe zaddy, June?
So my understanding of a zaddy is, I could be totally wrong, is like a, isn't a zaddy an older, like very sexy guy?
Well, a zaddy is someone who is attractive and fashionable with swag and sex appeal. It doesn't say anything because I also thought a zaddy is someone older.
People, but you have to be older to be considered a daddy.
Right.
So I would think, like, you have to be. Daddies cannot be. Oh, and so
there's the difference between a daddy and a zaddy?
In my understanding, like, okay, anybody who's older can be considered a daddy, but a zaddy is like a very okay, sexy older guy.
Well, here, according to Merriam-Webster Dictionary, this is an official term here, the difference between zaddy and daddy is a daddy is an attractive older man. A zaddy is a man with swag who is attractive and also fashionable. So that's
fashionable
that
is not like, I would take that out of the equation. I think out here Miriam on Webster, these streets, June. I understand.
Out in these LA streets?
Out in these LA streets, a zaddy is considered
okay,
like a very sexy guy.
Here's some zaddies. John Hamm. Idris
Wait
Elba,
a second.
George Clooney. So George, okay, so basically John Hamm could have a dad bod and be a zaddy.
Easily. Okay. Again, dad bod is not a bad, I don't
of
think
course.
It's a
okay, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Now I'm starting
Chris
to understand.
Chris Evans,
okay,
zaddy. Then
see, I don't
the
think
ultimate,
Chris Evans is old enough to be a zaddy.
Stanley Tucci, zaddy.
Holy shit. I'm watching Stanley Tucci's Italy travel show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Stanley Tucci's Italy travel show. He is dressed, he doesn't have a dad bod because he is shredded.
Yeah.
He is so charming and he is so good. It's a super fun show if you're at all interested in scratching that kind of Bourdain travel show itch. Tucci is straight, in this case, I think, zaddy. Because he's deeply fashionable.
Daniel Day Kim, they say, is a zaddy.
For sure.
Okay.
For sure.
Sure.
For sure.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm getting it now.
Yeah,
thank you.
Of course.
Thank you for this week's episode of defining internet terms for Jason.
I mean, here, okay. Well, yeah, I've been called the zaddy once.
Whoa. Huge reveal.
Let's see.
Huge reveal. Google it.
I'm going to see if you've been called a zaddy, Jason.
Paul Scheer.
Because I think when I did that scene in Black Monday where I was shirtless on rollerblades. They call you a zaddy. You've been called a zaddy
Who?
Too.
Who's that?
I think on Thursday you've been called a zaddy.
Okay.
And then... I'll see. I'm looking here.
So I don't have to be a dad. I can just be the age of a dad.
Yeah.
No, being called a daddy or a zaddy has like nothing to do with whether you are a dad.
It's just about being age. Yeah. It's just being, I get it now. Okay.
And so all right. So now back to
everybody happy with their zaddy status?
I feel like so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Oh my God. My zaddy status is, oh man, I can't believe
I'm being called
Jason. A zaddy out in these streets.
Yeah. You're
Stop
getting
using the word fashionable, Paul. It has nothing to do.
All right, sorry.
Like that's so non-zaddy to keep on using the word fashionable.
Oh, let's see if as Ty Dolla, I go with the way that Ty Dolla Sign says it. So, and he says fashionable. So I have to trust him. He came up with the term. This one is from Pink Lemonade. The title is, I gave up on this twice, but the third time is the charm. And remember, this is a 5-star review. I came into this movie with expectations. And while I was disappointed the first two times, not even 15 minutes in, I just wanted something it isn't. The movie industry has brainwashed us to expect way too much when things are always so flashy, gritty, and extravagant. I was blown away by the simplicity of this movie once I gave it a chance and excited about a good ending. I would love to see a second movie, one that shows us the future of the world where this technology is popularized. Imagine rich people living forever and the consequences of that. I would also be interested to see how this robot, William, deals with grief because he has also lost his family too. Not to mention that he is literally a frickin' robot? Would he become a psycho robot millionaire? Would he seek revenge on the real William for leaving him to do such a fate? And does he feel jealous that he doesn't get the family? Will the family still be hunted? I need to know. Also, Keanu is as hot as hell. 5 stars.
I agree with Keanu being hot as hell. So Keanu, just to bring it all together, Keanu is both dad bod and zaddy, right?
June?
See, I don't consider Keanu dad bod, but that's me.
Okay.
You know, to me,
I'm just saying that
like
because he's not all shredded up. He's like, he's got a normal
body.
No,
I think you need that haunch to be.
He's got a little bit more than a normal body. I think he's.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
That's fine.
You
but
saw
I think
it up close.
He's totally a zaddy.
Okay. Got it. Got it. Okay.
Well, I mean, would we recommend this movie? Would you recommend people to watch it? It's right now on HBO Max.
I would, actually. Yeah. Like you, because Paul, you flagged for me. You're like, you're going to struggle with this one. And I thought I was going to be getting into, I don't know what. And oh, I was just like, oh, fuck, 2 hours. But
I thought you were going to struggle with the emotional core of watching children
die. No, because
to
be quite honest, I didn't really touch down. I didn't really have an opportunity to touch down with it. So,
yeah.
It didn't land for anybody in the movie, barely. No. You know what I mean? Like almost nobody processes the grief.
Yeah. So it was her, you know, that scene I was like, okay, I don't want to see these bodies. But all that said, I love Keanu so much and I'll follow him to the end of the earth. I just enjoy watching him. And it's crazy and it often doesn't make a lick of sense. But I thought Alice Eve's performance was oddly captivating. And I think, I would give it a watch. I would encourage others to give it a watch.
I actually really enjoyed it. And it kept I strap in or I unstrap my seatbelt like I did with Tough Guys Don't Dance and just let it fly. And this one I was leaning in. I want to give you some facts about it.
Quick question, because there's a beat before they get into the car crash where they talk about safety belts. And I was actually wondering, would they have had a better chance of survival if they weren't strapped in? Because I couldn't tell if those kids...
Oh, and they could ping-pong around?
Well, I couldn't tell if they died because they were drowning in the water.
Okay.
That's what it... I felt like the mom was obviously killed from the tree impaling her.
She was killed by a tree.
That the kids, either drowned or were killed the impact of the car driving off a cliff but maybe drowning was the ultimate cause of death. Unclear.
Well,
but like, should they have taken their seatbelts off and ping ponged around the minivan? Would they have had a better chance at survival?
Well,
if they'd just been ping-ponging around in the Pacifica.
All right, well, first of all, I don't think that was a Pacifica.
Was it? Yeah, because we are proud, you know.
Yeah, Pacifica has amazing airbags.
Be very careful.
I do not work for Pacifica. I don't know.
I'm not maligning the Pacifica.
Thank you.
That dad bod, this mom bod, we are also Pacifica bods.
all right, well, let me ask you this, Jason. Would you recommend it?
Yeah, I would. I mean, I agree with everything June said. You know, like, it is, yes, this movie is flawed. It's confusing, you know, really the plot mechanics of, if you're somebody who really needs a thing to add up and make sense, you're really going to struggle.
Sure.
But if you're along for the ride, it is all, I agree with what June said, it's all very compelling performance. Keanu is amazing, as always. Alice Eve is great. The kids are great. Middle Ditch is good. John Ortiz as the villain is terrific.
Like, yeah, that's,
these are good actors.
Yep.
These are good actors who are doing good work with a script that is, I think, pretty difficult.
Yeah.
You know, it's not doing them any favors, and the fact that they managed to come out of it so looking so well and feeling like I have some attachment to them, and like for when the replicas are born and come into the world, they do I thought a very good job of having them seem like his family, but also darkly not.
Yeah,
like there is some element of like they're doing a good job acting like 5% off.
And
I liked that.
But yet they don't pay off on that. Couple things to know about this movie. The budget of it was $30 million. It made $2 million on opening weekend. It's domestic.
$30 million. Where did they spend that money?
All the Rain machines.
There's like six people in this movie. The domestic, where's that money?
The domestic gross was only $4 million, and the worldwide gross was $9 million. The top three movies of 2018 were Black Panther, Avengers, Infinity War, and Incredibles 2. This movie was beat by The Meg, which we did on the show, and it did not beat any other How Did This Get Made film. The screenplay is written by Chad St. John, who wrote London Is Falling and Peppermint. And it was a story by a partner of Keanu's. They've written like a few things together, or created them together. So that was just a couple notes here. And the film was shot in 2016, but not released until 2019. Nicolas Cage turned down this role. And then it went to Keanu.
That would have been interesting.
Yes. And
because all of the time in the basement where Keanu is kind of stoically kind of trying to bring his family back, what if it had been Nicolas Cage like hamming it up in the basement? You know, like really going full blown Cage, being like, you know, like, come on, like at the tanks, like trying to make him, you know, like there's that. That's like maybe a pretty interesting version of this,
you know. I think there's a lot of ways to go, and all I want to say is reboot. Let's reboot Replicas. It's time. Let's get it back out. There's so many great ways to play with it. Jason, June, a pleasure to do these episodes, and everyone. Fast 9 is coming. We just got to figure out how we can do it, and we'll get all the pieces in play. But we are gearing up for a Fast 9 episode as soon as we can. So give us a beat as we figure all that out. And Jason, June, anything you'd like to plug, talk about?
Listeners, if you haven't started listening to The Deep Dive, I suggest you subscribe. It's been just a wonderful crazy ride with me and Jessica St. Clair on our own podcast.
People are really calling it like the Unspooled of podcasts. It's like really like fun.
I haven't heard that.
Okay.
People are calling it the Unspooled of podcasts.
Unspooled is
correct
a
me
podcast.
If I'm wrong, but isn't Unspooled a podcast?
People are fucking idiots. I don't know. I mean, I just tell them. I agree. That doesn't make any sense.
You've cited a lot of sources during this podcast.
Washington
you
Post,
have a source.
The Washington
those people,
Post
frankly,
says
those
the deep
people
dive
are morons.
The Washington Post says the deep dive is the Unspooled of podcasts. I don't know what that means.
And what does that make Unspooled? Unspooled is the
transcendent.
What?
I mean, it's like that Johnny Depp movie.
Anyway.
Oh my
Jason,
God.
What about you?
So you can watch all of Invincible right now on Amazon Prime, which is a great animated series adapted from Robert Kirkman's great comics. Fantastic. You can watch Infinite Guys right now on Paramount Plus. I haven't looked at the reviews or checked, but I'm pretty sure it's 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's what I heard. By the way, so, I did watch it, and you're great in it.
Thank you.
And,
I appreciate it.
And I posed with my bottle of champagne and champagne flavored popcorn that I was sent by Paramount Plus as I enjoyed it.
And then in a couple of weeks on June 30th, I'm in an animated movie that's going to be on Netflix called America the Motion Picture, which is which is a Lord and Miller and Matt Thompson, who created Archer, and a bunch of other great people are behind it. And it is, you know, it is an animated like satire of the founding fathers and the creation of America from a point of view that is deeply satirical and hilarious. So if you want to know if Paul Revere turns into RoboCop, he might. So check it out.
This is amazing. And Jason, you and I are now sharing the Star Trek universe, as I saw that you are a part of new Star Trek show, Discover, the one with Kate Mulgrew.
That is coming out in the fall, I believe.
Yeah.
I can't remember when exactly, but, it's awesome. It's like, it's a young team of, kids who get control of a ship, and I'm the alien who's the engineer. I'm the really angry Tellarite.
We right now are in the middle of a, I think one of the best seasons of Black Monday to date on Showtime every Sunday night at 10 p.m. A lot of stuff is happening. June is on the show as well as the daughter of a, of a very religious man, and I play Keith, who is in the fashion industry and also in the New York City club scene in the 90s, which tune in for that. Tune in for the looks that I'm rocking that, wow. You know, if you want to think if I have dad bod, you'll see a lot of things that I have. And one of the things is a shocking resemblance to Liza Minnelli when I am that's in true. Full makeup.
Wow.
I will say also check out the Twitch channel that I host. So many different great shows on there. Whenever you tune in, whether it's a cooking show, a music show, a comedy show, every Thursday night, Rob Hubel and I pop in there. Jason and I have done shows in there. So that is twitch.tv/friendzone. And a big thank you to all the people that we've already spoken about here. Cody, making things sound so great. Devin, putting it all together. Our new, with a new promotion. Congratulations, Devin. Molly, who helped us kind of figure out the dad bod of it all today. Nate, Kylie, who normally is doing all of our research. We appreciate you. But Molly stepped in this week and helped us out. And of course, our producer who picks out all of our movies, Avril Halley. She has a great, YouTube channel called Movie Bitches. So definitely check that out. And they are popping up on our mini episode. And speaking of our mini episode, if you have something that you'd like to talk about and add to the conversation, give me a call at 619-PAUL-ASK 619-PAUL-ASK. You can also ask about whatever is going on in your life because we have an advice section and a movie talkback section. A big thank you to July Diaz, who makes this show all fit together seamlessly at every step of the way. And of course, the ghost of Craig T. Nelson and Kyle Waldron for all their beautiful artwork that's displayed across all of our social platforms. If you like this episode and you like our show, please remember to rate and review the show. And if you are a Fast and Furious fan, every episode that we have done about the Fast and Furious franchise is out of the paywall, so you can listen to that right now. They're all out there. Hobbs and Shaw, backwards. We haven't done them all, but we've done a lot of them. So as you get ready for your Fast and Furious countdown, we are so excited for that, which I believe
so
yeah,
excited.
It's going to be a blast. All right, everybody. We will see you next time. And remember to tune into our mini episode. Bye for now.